Love, Lust, and Laughter with Dr. Diana Wiley and Billy Sage, Fridays at 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Aloha and welcome to another edition of Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter. And today, living proof that an orgasm a day keeps old age at bay. A living legend in sexuality, the author of Sex for One and her latest book, My Sexual Revolution, Betty Dodson. And of course, our lady who is eternally youthful, wonder what the reason is, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Thank you, Billy. And Dr. Betty Dodson, you're there.
We have the same secret, honey.
I guess so. I loved how you signed my book when I saw you a couple of weeks ago in New York City. For Diana, a sister sex educator with an overload of T, which stands for testosterone.
Yes, darling.
Yes, and Betty, you and I have known each other, well, at least since 1991. When we were in Amsterdam for the World Congress of Sexology.
And oh, I remember that. It was incredible.
It really was. And you got my attention right away because you were sitting at the end of a long table of a whole bunch of us, colleagues, sex educators, sex therapists, and you were having so much fun, and you raised your T-shirt to reveal a braless Betty.
Yeah, I've been known to do that, so we could just get over it, please.
I know it. Well, I've always appreciated that you are so real and so outlandish at times and just fun. And you say something in the foreword of your a rather famous book by now, and it's been published in many languages, Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving. You say in the foreword, there is nothing more exciting or satisfying than being a part of a person's sexual growth and happiness. And that really resonates for me, because I get to do that too. But that's profound.
It is. No, it's a very satisfying feeling. It makes a big difference. You know, it's not that an orgasm is the end-all, be-all, but if you've never had one and you don't know what it is, it is an end-all, be-all. Once you can have it, you can just live very comfortably.
Yes, and you have helped, thousands of women have their first orgasm.
Yep, my favorite thing.
Your favorite thing, and you have the body sex groups, well, you had them. That's sort of past tense. But you do talk about it in your newest memoir, which I've been enjoying reading.
It's not too shocking, is it?
Oh no. Well, you know, for some people it might be, but no. Again, we like your authenticity, Betty, and your fun. But you talk about... Well, before I go to that, your body sex groups in the past, there's a part that kind of gives an overall. And I want to quote from this book, this wonderful newest memoir of yours, which people can get, I guess, where?
On my website.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
And so we're going to mention the website. I'll mention it now, and Billy will mention it again. It's Dodson, D-O-D-S-O-N, and spelled out A-N-D, Ross, R-O-S-S, .com.
Lowercase.
That's DodsonandRoss.com. How's that for repeating it later?
Oh,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's very good.
Oh, and by the way, for those people with questions for the esteemed Dr. Betty, and actually, literally, in a loving way, we can tell everybody if you'll bleep themselves. I don't know if we can say the bleep word on this, even if it's cable or not, but we mean it in the best way of all, and sometimes it helps. But the number is studio line, toll free, 1-888-874-4888.
So I just wanted to quote from your book, and the chapter is Sex and Drugs and the FBI. At the end of that chapter, I really like this because it has to do with sex being a healing force. You said the 60s held a promise that love was coming to all of us, and I believed the decade of the 70s was going to deliver that love with sex and drugs and rock and roll, in spite of the FBI. As it turned out, I was correct. The 70s was America's unsurpassed decade of healthy, liberated sex.
Yep.
I will be forever thankful that I was available to enjoy every moment, and boy, did you ever, I think. If I get my way, we'll see another period of sexual liberation that will bring us closer to the truth of the rightness of sexual pleasure that is indeed a healing force that supports people and the planet. The healing force, that's so important. Betty, would you talk a little more about that?
Well, it's the positive energy. It's the creative energy. It isn't the anger and the death and the killing. It's, for me, it's the essence of life versus the opposite, of which is death or destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So that the orgasm energy, I mean, anybody who's a writer or studies in school, they know that you get stuck on a problem, that you have to stop and masturbate and clear your mind, clear your body. It's a shot of very positive energy that works.
It does, and I think there is a lot of masturbation around stressful events like a college exam, where you masturbate, clear your mind, and
it has to be done without guilt or shame, Diana,
yeah,
or it doesn't work. If you have to sneak it and you have to make sure no one's going to catch you, you've got that kind of energy mixed in with it, it's not good. It's ridiculous that we have to go through that. Get your privacy and lock the door and just forget about the rest of the world.
Yes, exactly. You were a fortunate woman in that you had a mother who was at least open to masturbation.
Oh, she was fine. She knew it was her attitude was it's a natural activity for children.
Yes.
She when I discussed it with her later on in life, she said, well, she had done the same thing. Then, of course, the standard approach is that once you get married and you have a sex partner, then you stop masturbating.
It's too bad. I know that in my marriage counseling work, so often a breakthrough is when I can get the couple to at home, you know, they do these things at home, home play assignments, homework assignments, to masturbate in front of each other because it's so liberating. Your first book was Liberating Masturbation, but it's also educational and exciting and titillating potentially.
Absolutely. You know that the person, that your significant other is getting what she or he really wants.
Yes, and if you pay attention, you can then touch your lover in more exciting ways because you have observed how he or she touches himself or herself.
And, yeah, it's like a sex lesson, learning about what your partner does.
Oh, a sex lesson. I like that. So,
I bet you Alexander Pope masturbated a lot, the great English satirist. In 1731, he wrote, "Know first thyself, presume not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man."
And woman.
Well, you know.
Yeah, but that's right. That's right. So the body sex groups, I'm looking at your memoir on page 177, and you reveal that you said, up until the age of 35, I thought I was genitally deformed because I had long inner lips due to my basic lack of visual information with no idea what other women's sex organs look like. I was inhibited and self-conscious each time, and so on. And of course, the audience, if they go to your website, will see that you are an amazing erotic artist too. But and you've made many drawings, which have helped women realize that their genitals are unique. And you talk about the classical cunt with perfect proportions, a gothic cunt with cathedral-shaped arches, a baroque cunt with elaborate drapery, and an art deco cunt with fluted graceful lines.
I love that.
I love it, too. You wrote it.
I know. When I first realized I was doing it, I was actually on the stage talking to the NOW organization back in the early 70s.
Wow. Say more about that.
Oh, wait, that's a penis.
What did you say,
no,
Bill?
I actually put one in. I put in a photograph of my friend's penis. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, represent the other half.
The other half. But you also write that you pointed out the heart shape when a woman held her outer lips open, and that Valentine's Day suddenly had new meaning.
Right. Send your lover a Valentine.
Yeah, romantic red hearts surrounded by lace were really open vulvas with decorative pubic hair. Oh, boy.
Yep. Oh, by the way, pubic hair is coming back.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
it
yeah.
always comes back.
Well, it grows back, but I mean coming back in terms of fashion.
Well, I mean...
You're bad, all of you. Look at you there.
Why, thank you.
I'd spank both of you.
Oh, bless
you.
Oh, your
heart. Wow.
Oh, yes, what a naughty little sidekick I've been.
Yeah. See? He's asking for it, isn't he, Betty?
Yes, Master.
Oh, Diana, he wants it.
I did radio for over a year with Billy Sage in Hawaii, and in those days we were actually in the same radio studio together, and it's fun.
In the words of Richard Nixon, has the statute of limitations run out yet?
You're not in the same studio. Don't tell me you're separated.
Well, he's in Honolulu, and I'm in Seattle, but this is what Internet radio is about.
Oh,
let me hear about your show, Betty, with Carlin Ross.
Yeah, we do a little video podcast every week.
Uh-huh.
We have over 100 now. I can't believe it. It just goes so fast.
Yes.
I remember when we first started, I thought we would talk 5-10 minutes, at least 10 minutes. And then we just kept cutting back, and now it's like 4 minutes, 4.5 tops.
Wow. So people can go and be entertained and enlightened by going to, can you say it, Bill, please, for us?
I can. DodsonandRoss.com.
Yeah.
DodsonandRoss.
Lowercase.
.com, lowercase, yes. When they're around me, they also lower standards, but that's a different story.
You have a very nice voice, Bill. I'm not going to be too hard on you.
Well, thank you very much. No, what? No hard on? Damn it. What's
on you.
Oh, I see. Well, I hope I have a hard on me sometime. I want to have a reason for living.
And I think your wife appreciates it, too.
I think she does. In the
that
words
happens.
Of... Never mind.
So, but say a little more. You got together with Carlin, I think 2 years ago,
yes,
perhaps?
Yes, it's 2 years. It's gone so fast, I can't believe it was only 2 years.
Yeah.
But I was right at the point where I had to get a new webmaster. I needed a partner. The man I'd been working with, Grant Taylor, we'd been working off and on. I dedicated the book to him, and it was my most intense love-hate affair of my lifetime.
Went from 1965 to 2008 when he died, right?
Yes, exactly. So we never lived together, and we certainly did not want to get married, but we were collaborators. We were lovers for 5 years, and for some reason I can't seem to get beyond 5 years, and so I've just learned to accept it, and I blame it on being an artist.
Yeah, that's okay. I want to hear you talk about that, but I also want to ask you about how you've managed polyamory. And I know you had a much, much younger man in your life for quite a while. Eric, I met him once
years ago. He's doing very well. He's a sex life coach, and he blogs on our website, and he has a nice private practice. And he works quite differently than I do. He can do Skype phone sessions. You know, he's very, very flexible. But
you were his mentor and his lover for quite a while.
Once again, after the 5 year mark, it was I think we stretched it a couple of years, a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, here's the thing: during my period with Eric, I had no desire to have any sex with anyone else. So I think that there is such a thing as monogamy when, you know, you're old. I mean, I was in my 70s. I certainly didn't have to go seek a new experience. And he's very young and virile, and he wasn't monogamous with me either, because he needed, as a sex educator, you need a lot of experience. So here we are, still the best of friends. He's recently moved out. He has his own place. I'm very proud of him. And so now it's more like a mentor, student, or basically a mother and child. I find it fascinating.
I think it is fascinating, and I think many people do find it fascinating. And you have said in one of your books, I remember reading, that monogamy really is... that's right. I know where it was. It was in your Sex for One, where you had your, for a while, you had all male groups, right?
Oh, I did. I did. I only did three or four of all men.
Uh huh.
I mean, I thought it was very presumptuous of me to run an all men's group, but they wanted it. Their girlfriends,
yeah,
and their wives wanted them to do a workshop with me.
But you had a gay man named George, and he said monogamy was never meant for men. It was for the protection of women. And you responded, I thought it protected men. A monogamous wife not only ensured the paternity of his children, but also had no chance to make sexual comparisons, which protected her husband from any feelings of inadequacy.
That's very well said.
That, yeah, you said it. I'm just looking in your book here. Plus, right opposite the page, you have one of your amazing drawings. I own one of Betty Dodson's. I'm so thrilled you signed it, too. It's pen and pencil. I mean, it's pencil. They're how do you describe them?
It's a lithograph. It's a print from the original Love series that I did in 68.
Right, right. So I have this marvelous man and woman embracing each other. But for your group with men, you have this great drawing. I'm just looking at it now, of these two men. Each one is masturbating himself, and one has kind of gone his knees over the other. It's very, very erotic.
Well, that's sharing masturbation, and you know what? Gay men are quite comfortable doing that.
Right, more than
the straight couples.
More than the straight couples, I know.
And
well,
the other thing is that,
yeah,
remember, we have to deal with AIDS, and manual sex is always safe sex.
Sure it is. And so they even have do they call them jack off groups?
Yeah, jack off, J-O clubs.
J-O clubs, okay.
I tried to get to one time. I thought, oh, come on, just one old little old bitty lady.
And they said, no, thank you?
No, we just have never done that before. They aren't going to do it.
Did you tell them that you'd had men in your
that
home
I had
office?
Done, yes, that I'd done men's groups and that I would bring my vibrator and it was bigger than any of their dicks and they ought to just shape up. And
No, we prefer to have studgerbation.
What?
Studgerbation. Stodgy old farts. I might be an old jack-off, but at least I know first myself, and I'm not inadequate to me.
I don't want to look at no women.
Yeah. Hey, you
know,
dang woodchucks, quit chucking my wood.
There's a wonderful book called The Masters of Sex, which is a biography about Masters and Johnson. And what they found, so reported, was that when they observed, because they did not just observe heterosexual couples, and there were some 10,000 acts over the years that they studied this in the 60s with volunteers and prostitutes. But they also studied gay couples. And it turns out that both the homosexuals, male and female, they teased each other more. They slowed down.
Well, but I think they also feel more secure because they have the same kind of genitals.
I think that's a very good point, of course.
And so they're pretty familiar with it. A woman knows what she likes with clitoral stimulation. The guy knows how he likes his dick and balls handled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's more of a comfort element.
Mm-hmm.
So oral sex is comfort food?
It could be.
It could be. And listen, too many people make it fast food, and that's a shame.
Damn.
There you go, Betty. Yeah. Too bad. It's, I'm all for gourmet feasting. When you think about our bodies from the top of our head to the tip of our toes, we have all these erotic, tasty possibilities, and some people simply get stuck between the legs.
I know. Penetration.
Penetration. What is your current view about the G-spot, Betty?
I'm not wild about it. I think it's gotten way too much press, and it's confused more people than it's liberated. If there's a handful of women that have this response, you know, God bless them. They were holding back their orgasms. Uh-huh. They thought they, all right. But there's many, 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 many more women who don't have this problem, and they don't have this response. So now their boyfriends all say, let's find your G-spot. I want to see you ejaculate, because then I'll really know you've had an orgasm.
Yeah, no, and that's way too much pressure.
Believe me, and it's not a pleasant sensation to have someone digging around inside your vagina. And nothing nicer than a nice penis. If he knows how to work his PC muscle and he pulses it, and she's got her PC muscle and she can grip and release. I mean, that's a whole show going on right there. You don't have to find some kind of stupid-ass spot inside the vagina to then torture so she pees or ejaculates, whichever comes first. I mean, I don't like it at all.
Okay. You
have opinions.
No, well, of course, we know that. But you talk in
I'll put
your...
you down as undecided.
Hmm? I didn't hear.
I'll put you down as undecided.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So in your memoir, My Sexual Revolution, you recalled a lover named Roy, who was a karate master.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Eric is also a martial artist. They're good, you know, because they're in touch with their bodies. They have different breathing patterns that they can tap into. They work out on a regular basis. They're very fit.
Very fit. So you write in your book, in the chapter Love Picture Exhibition, that you would make love with Roy, and you said he was having multiple orgasms. So, and this is going back, 30 years ago, I guess, something I never knew existed for men. When I asked him if his orgasms felt different when he didn't ejaculate, he grinned and said, nope, it all feels good. Several times I asked how he'd learned to stay hard after coming, but he would never tell me.
He was like a woman who's guarding her secret recipe.
Yeah. So, but what about these guys who are able to have multiple orgasms? Because there are not too many of them.
They're not, and it is possible. And I know this kid at one point sent me an audio tape of how to do it. And
oh, it's Maxwell, Brandon Maxwell.
Well, I think there are several people now that
are teaching. Yeah, well, he's got a wonderful tape on it, and he's going to be my guest the 19th of November. But anyway, go on.
So it's something, but it requires focus, practice. You have to stay with it. It's like any other advanced skill. It is, you know, it doesn't come naturally. So there are not that many men who are willing to go into this. I think some of the tantra teachers learn how to retard ejaculation, and they can, you know, come and not ejaculate and then come again. And it's fascinating, and I mean, I've only had the experience with two different men. So, once again, that's not the norm. So
not
we don't
the norm, but they can with practice, just like
yeah,
you
but
said
you know, Diana, the problem is that we're setting up, it's not like the G-spot. We're
setting
up,
see what you're
we're
saying.
We're setting up another, a real difficult thing for someone to accomplish, when basically we'd have to teach people just simple, basic, do yourself, do each other, have your orgasm. Don't make it into such a big magilla.
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. But men can learn certain things like...
Well, yeah, they can learn how to handle a clitoris. They can learn how to do slow penetration.
Mm-hmm.
They can learn how to ask what a woman likes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of very important sexual skills that are easy to learn if they'll just take the time.
And if they have the consciousness for it.
Right. And, this is one of the things about the website. At the back of the website, we have little video clips of female masturbation, male masturbation, a man putting on a condom, vaginal sex with a vibrator, anal sex with a vibrator. It's showing women using vibrators during partner sex, which is very important. If a woman is into her vibrator and then she has sex with her partner and she can't have an orgasm, because she's trying to do it the hard way. And I'm saying, no, bring your vibrator to bed with you. Any man who loves a woman, is not going to make a big deal out of whether or not she's got a vibrator in bed.
Well, that's right, and I point out to men, I just spoke to 700 undergraduate students at UW, which is the University of Washington here, Pepper Schwartz's class, and so these are, you know, 19, 20-year-olds, and I pointed out that just because a woman needs a vibrator to reach orgasm, something that can go at 300 mph,
you know, I wouldn't even say. I wouldn't
she's
say,
not broken. She's not broken just because she needs it.
I wouldn't say need. I would say prefers.
Okay.
Now,
good
the
point.
Guys are looking at porn, and they say, yeah, I can get off without porn, but I like porn. I prefer it. So our vibrators are kind of like they're porn. It's That's what we like to get off.
Mm.
So we don't have to say you can't do it.
Here's an analogy, if you don't mind. Whether it be porn or vibrators or whatever, you treat the human body as the wonderful pièce de résistance in the raw. But then you add the spices and the herbs and all the other recuperants, make a normal nourishing dish a really gourmet meal.
That's there you go. That's, we're back
that's
to the gourmet
well said,
again.
Bill. I like that.
Check, please.
Oh, you're going to pick up the tab too, darling? Oh, I
pick
love
up
it.
The Fresco. What the hell? Pick up everything.
Betty, you
apropos
have...
Apropos of nothing, my favorite scene was in Dudley Moore and Arthur, the two hookers. Excuse me, please. Will the more attractive of you two ladies take one step forward?
With the most attractive?
Yeah. And they sort of blew... What?
I'm sorry. It went over my head.
No, Dudley Moore... He pulls up to two hookers in a limo and leans out the window and goes, excuse me, please. Will the more attractive of you two ladies please take one step forward?
Oh, he's dumb.
Oh, well.
Dumbass.
Well, it was a movie. He played a self-absorbed drunk, but it's kind of funny the way he carried it off.
Okay. And apparently that movie's just been remade.
Huh.
But anyway, in your book, My Sexual Revolution, speaking of cooking and so on, you have a chapter 13, Cooking for the Orgy.
Oh, I love
wins
it. Yeah.
Over food.
You know, that the whole idea of getting ready for a party when you know everyone's going to have sex is very, very delightful. And I haven't, you know, I mean, I guess I segued from sex parties over to the workshops. Because once I found out in the orgies, sex parties I prefer, that women, you know, guys are having a ball. They were coming, and they were having, you know, breathing hard, focused, you know, getting off. And the women were all screaming and pretending and acting. And I thought, oh, I can't stand this. Women have got to learn how to have orgasms. We've got to stop faking it. So that's how I segued into running the workshops, which I did for 25 years.
And I know that there are, because I own some. I have an old tape, VHS tape, Self Loving by You, and then a DVD tape, The Orgasm Doctor. I have Mark Schoen's tape about your art.
We did that in Seattle.
Yes. He's quite a wonderful filmmaker, and he tells me the story about how you stood up for yourself when he was bossing you around or something, and you said, is that any fucking way to talk to an old lady?
Well, I've been known
to... We all appreciate your spirit, Betty.
I've been known to throw out a four-letter word every now and then. Well, that whole evening was a total disaster, but I don't want to go into it, because he turned out a fairly decent DVD.
Yeah, I think it's good. But, you, of course, you're, in some ways, you're a perfectionist, I think, about your art.
I know, so. You said a Leo, but, honey, I'm a Virgo.
I didn't say you were a Leo. I don't know what you are.
Oh.
I think she's a Virgo.
I am. I'm on the cusp of Leo and Virgo, and my rising sign is Virgo. So I'm a detail freak, and I am, yes, I want everything to be perfect.
And so that probably caused a little friction between you and Dr. Schoen.
Oh, yes. No, but he's like my brother. You know, we've known each other for so long. We've been involved with each other's lives forever, so I call him my little brother.
Well, he's been on this radio program, and so has his wife, Lori Buckley.
Yeah, we did a podcast with Lori a couple of years ago.
Yes. Good. I think you should do one with me one of these days, Betty.
Oh, I'd be more than happy. If you had been here longer, we wanted to have one with you. We could have exchanged podcasts.
Oh, how exciting. Exchanging podcasts.
Why not?
It's like DNA for the 21st century. How about I exchange toll-free numbers and give a little station hint that we'll be back after a station break on the half hour? You're listening to Wiley and Sage, and if you want to call Dr. Betty Dodson or the wonderful scintillating Dr. Diana Wiley, the studio line is 1-888-874-4888. That's 1-888-874-4888. You're listening to Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter on the Progressive Radio Network.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
Freedom News Hour will bring you up to date on the latest news on the financial meltdown.
Begin restoring local communities. It can happen.
We'll be exploring the issues from a freedom-oriented, small government perspective.
I'm Walt Thiessen.
I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster.
I am Jake Towne.
Join us live Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
Gary Knoll. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one form that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
And we are back on Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter, with special guest Dr. Betty Dodson. If you'd like to get a hold of Betty and ask her a personal question, the studio line is 1-888-874-4888. And if you'd like to visit Betty's website, it's DODSONANDROSS, DodsonandRoss.com. And now here's your scintillating host, a lady who's younger every day, thanks to, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
So, Betty, you, in your chapter, in your most recent memoir, Sexual Outlaws, the chapter, I want to talk a little bit about SM exploration, because you write, the idea that sex was an exchange of power presented a new understanding of my role as a workshop leader. I often kidded around in the groups about being top sergeant, and then going on a little more, and you said we would masturbate in a circle, have orgasms with electric vibrators, and end with group massage. Since I got paid, that classified me as a professional dominatrix.
Absolutely. I had no idea. And the other thing is that with all the, you know, in my youth, it was all about romantic love. You fell in love.
Yes.
Whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a mixture of quite a few things. But once that happened, I surrendered my power. Ah, my boyfriend, whatever he wanted, he ran the fuck. He, you know, where we are going to go, he picked up the tab. That was, you know, listen, in the 40s and 50s, which is kind of where we are again today, this is how we operated. The man was in control. The man was in charge. Hmm. He led, the women followed.
Over the 30 years that I've been doing a lot of, well, mostly marriage counseling, but, you know, sometimes others, individuals. But I have found that the healthiest relationships are fairly egalitarian, that there's equal give and take. Sometimes the man is in charge and sometimes the woman is in charge. What's your take on that, Betty?
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? The whole concept of taking turns.
Taking turns.
It's very sensible.
Yeah.
Taking turns in terms of the house, raising children, taking turns in terms of sex. That'd be like having a roommate, like two women living together or two men. They both pitch in. But you know what the standard female role was. She stayed home, took care of the house, and daddy went to work, and it was in the world.
Yeah.
Now we have a role reversal. Sometimes it's the woman who's out in the world and daddy stays home because she makes more money than him. But the largest configuration is both mommy and daddy are working to just make ends meet.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure around that. And then I find that couples really need to carve out some time for themselves, and that's hard to do. We've got the DINS syndrome, the double income, no sex syndrome, and the TTFS syndrome, too tired for sex syndrome. And so they really do need to put sex on the calendar, have a date night, and within that plan, they can have some spontaneity, but couples are really busy.
Honey, I don't know how anybody who's raising children and, you know, with a job on top of it.
On top of it.
Can have sex with a partner. She's lucky if she can just, you know, have a little quick J.O. with her vibrator.
Yes.
I know I had this one woman who, because she said, I know you're not going to be happy hearing me say this, Betty, but I love that new vibrator you recommended. I can come and get, and it's over in 3 minutes. She's thrilled. She can have.
Hi, Billy Mays here for the amazing new Come and Go.
Come and Go.
Well, that was very much what she needed or wanted because she didn't have time.
Yeah.
Right.
Has anybody marketed that for a vibrator name, by the way?
Come and Go?
Yeah, it seems like it'd be. We're just putting it out there for those who'd like to market it. Generous people.
The marketing maven.
Yeah. Betty, in your chapter, The Feminist Pornographer, you recalled reading The Feminine Mystique, which I remember reading at the time Betty Friedan wrote it, and it certainly jolted my thinking. But you you point out that in spite of what she said, women were love seekers, not sex seekers.
Well, yeah, she used that term, you know, Peter Pan, sex seeker, searching for, you know, eternal youth. No. I didn't, you know, in the 50s and the 40s, women, sex seekers, they're not there now. Maybe the younger generation is coming along.
It's coming along, I think. But you point out that, you know, we female types have sex to be loved, not because we love sex. And here's what I really think is important. You say women will never be able to really love sex if they are not orgasmic. That certainly has been my experience, that the orgasm is the payoff.
Yes.
And it's a high like you can't have in any other way.
Well, even if it's a small one, Diana.
A sneeze.
You know, even that releases tension.
Sure.
And given the culture that we're in today, anytime you can let go of some tension, go for it.
I know. Absolutely. And then if you manage to have really fantastic lovemaking, you release a lot of tension, and there's a lot of endorphins and oxytocin and other really sexy hormones circulating in your body, which is really good for you. And that's one reason you, Betty Dotson, look at least 20 years younger than you actually are chronologically.
Oh, really, darling? You flatter me. 20 years? Wow.
Close. I mean, I just saw you. November the 9th.
That's true. We just worked together recently.
And I think you're fabulous, Betty. And
well, honey, I think you're fabulous. And aren't you doing the same thing?
Well, and through media.
So I think
it's the best way to get out with solid information.
Besides the orgasm, which I sometimes neglect like everyone else, it's doing the work I love. It's also paying very close attention to what I eat and paying very close attention to what I eliminate. So it's not just orgasms. There's an overall pattern here.
Of course. So say a little more about that, because I think, you know, you are a teacher. You are an example.
Well, I'm trying to do more and more live food.
Not live food, okay.
Well, you can say raw food, but then they right away tell me, you eat raw chicken? Jackass. You know what I mean? People are very, very limited in their understanding. So by raw food, I mean whole food, live food, like an apple, an orange, a banana, salads, lettuce, greens, chopped vegetables, mm-hmm. all of these things, juicing, doing a lot of juicing. I just had a colonic today. Goodness gracious, this is absolutely essential. When we get older, to keep everything functioning, go get yourself flushed out.
You know, I read in your book something that I had never read before, one of your books, that when one of your women finally learned to reach orgasm, she, who had been previously constipated, started being regular.
Yes,
and so it must have to do with everything below the waist starting to function better. What is that about?
Well, think of it. When you sexual repression affects the entire body. We walk around the streets, and if we've got breasts that show, we're always covering ourselves because it's self-consciousness. Then you get down to the pelvis. We don't like our genitals. We think they're deformed. There's something wrong with them. We have the doctors cut the inner lips off. We shave them. We wax them. Now they're supposed to grow hair. It's like a constant circus of making it okay, and it's never okay. It's never okay. So it's, where was I?
Well,
you
just,
were okay.
I was okay.
Yeah. Billy, pick it up on that. That's good.
Well,
I think there's really nothing wrong at all with the body as you get older. A lot of it is just being comfortable regardless of what the mores are. If you're in your position where you can be ostracized and lose money, it becomes financially detrimental. But people who are generally free and independent thinkers and find work they love to do and would do it without being paid and could just be honest without, I guess, being...
I was getting to the point where it's no wonder the whole pelvic area is locked up. Mm. And that would include your colon. That would include the pelvic floor muscle. And if the woman has had children on top of that, that's more stress.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the area of the woman's body that is the most stressed out. So that it needs a lot of work, a lot of love, a lot of attention. So it's also massage. I get a regular massage. I just think that we really neglect our bodies.
Yeah.
It's a machine, and you're just going to run it like a car until it stops, only you can't get a new body.
So Betty, you personally have a regular massage.
Oh, yes, must.
They're good for you.
Must. It's a must. Actually, now that I'm in my 80s, I think that my sex life is primarily going to be myself. I have a nice collection of vibrators and sex toys and dildos and butt plugs and my oh my and all kinds of porn. And that with plus massage, instead of having some klutz climb all over me who doesn't know what he's doing, I would rather have a professional masseuse who is trained in touch and can do healing.
Right, the sexual healing. But I think what you need is a masseuse that'll give you a happy ending.
Well, I prefer to do that myself because I know how to do it, and I don't need to be done.
Oh,
no,
for you.
I passed that, really, darling, years and years ago. I mean, I will do, you know, certainly with Eric, we had a wonderful sex life. But it wasn't him doing me. I mean, I always had the control of the vibrator on my clitoris, no matter what else he was doing.
Yeah.
So I have done myself for years and years and years. It's just whatever configuration I add to it.
And you say at the beginning of your book, Sex for One, because I want to come back to this whole thing, because you're known in our circles as the masturbation maven sometimes. And it's so true. You say masturbation is a primary form of sexual expression. It's not just for kids or for those in-between lovers or for old people who end up alone. Masturbation is the ongoing love affair that each of us has with ourselves throughout our lifetime.
Yep, I'm living proof.
You are living proof. And you are. I mean, and here you are, a healthy older woman. And then I'm just going to read a little more from your Sex for One book because it's so profound. Masturbation is a way for all of us to learn about sexual response.
Yep.
It's an opportunity for us to explore our bodies and minds for all those sexual secrets we've been taught to hide, even from ourselves. And then a little bit more, and I want you to talk about this. Sexual skills are like any other skills. They're not magically inherited. They have to be learned.
And then practiced.
But you start with masturbation.
Well, this is our first natural sexual activity when a little baby finds its genitals and plays with it. We masturbate in utero. They have sonograms showing both male and female in utero playing with their little wee-wees. Come on. This is human nature.
I know. Isn't that? I was so glad when those films came out about showing the in utero baby touching himself or herself.
Pardon?
The touching that happens in utero still.
Yes.
I mean, it is so natural.
Now, and my position on this is that when the parent blocks the child's natural curiosity to want to play with itself, and then later on where it wants to, the little boy will want to ejaculate and the little girl will want to come, that later on when that happens and that is blocked by a well-meaning parent who slaps, shouts, screams, or condemns, that child has a sex problem as an adult, invariably.
I've seen it.
Honey,
I've
that's
seen
all
it.
Work. That's the way
I
we
deal
do.
With it clinically.
Yes. You cannot. So young mothers and fathers, do not interfere with your children's natural exploration of their genitals. They're
except
not going,
to say maybe you do it in private.
Well, yeah. Don't do that when grandma's here. Or go into your bedroom, honey. That's a private activity. Mommy does it, too. It's fun. She understands. Now, the child is not going for an adult orgasm. I have clear memory of when I used to hump my pillow. It wasn't about having an orgasm. We are so fixated on orgasms because so few people are having any. But it was like something tickled. It was like an itch. And so I'd rub up against something, I'd hump the pillow, and then it would go away.
Interesting.
It wasn't like, oh, 5-year-old having a full body orgasm. Stop it. What is wrong with people?
Yeah.
And then they say that children aren't sexual. Well, that isn't the story of my sex life.
No, it's not. It's simply not true. It's not true. But I think it's great that you had that experience as a kid, and then it propelled you forward. How old were you? Do you mind sharing this lost your virginity?
I was older. I didn't go all the way. A man didn't put his penis inside my vagina until I was 21. And I had moved to New York City. 20.
Mm-hmm.
I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd had plenty of hand jobs.
Never been penetrated.
No. Well, with a finger.
Yeah.
Sure.
But with a penis.
But I know because I didn't have birth control.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You couldn't get it. Back then it was a diaphragm, and I don't know if guys even knew what a condom was, but that was the whole point. You know, you didn't go all the way because of pregnancy. I had clarity. But I was having all these fabulous orgasms from manual sex and kissing.
Uh-huh.
What could be better?
You
know, we have a little podcast up on the on the website that we did for this week, and it's like, why do we race for the penetration, the penis and the vagina? That's procreation. You know, and we're so stilted sexually, we think that is the only kind of real sex. Mm. Unfortunately, it's great for the guy. A moist vagina is a heavenly place for him to have his penis. But yeah, it's not how most women can have an orgasm. Now, we've just got to face up to that and own it. Now, yes, a handful of women say, I can come from penis-vagina sex. I can come from fucking. Great. Happy for you. Bless you. Here's a gold star. But 90% of us do not.
Yeah.
Rarely. And I mean, and I think of all those years that I was struggling to have vaginal orgasms, it makes me furious. Who said that's the way? Freud?
Well, Freud did, but then fortunately, Cher Hyde came along.
We don't have to be told by some man how we have sex.
Exactly. And, you know, I can remember in my 20s being so sexually shy, and that I'd be, like, sitting on top and not wanting to touch my own clitoris because I didn't want to offend my lover's ego. Now, how stupid is that?
No, that's what we
I mean, do. I know my own body better than he does, but that's how stupid I was.
Honey, you were average. That's what we all did. You were not stupid. You were being a good girl, and you were thoughtful, and you didn't want to hurt his feelings.
I know. Thank God. Come a long way, baby.
Yeah, but think of what's going on out there in the society today with abstinence only as sex ed.
Just awful.
8 years of total, absolute ignorance. Sexual ignorance, and all those guys up there they're getting their blowjobs and they're getting their nookie, but the kids in the high school and the teenagers can't have sex education and contraception. What is this?
It's insane. It's insane.
Thank you.
We really need to have more sex education. And look. Let's go back to when Bill Clinton was president. He even had to fire.
Jocelyn Elders.
Yes, Jocelyn Elders, who said masturbation is a good thing.
Yeah, but, you know, there's an understory to that. She also thought marijuana should be legalized.
That was the other story, huh?
Yeah.
Stoners with boners.
What did you say, Bill?
Stoners with boners.
Well, we could use a few more, Bill. I tell you what, I'll take a stoner over a boozer any day.
There you go.
Of course. And
but we got lobbies in Washington. I guess you guys have noticed.
Yeah. Lobbies, yes.
Yeah, right. So the liquor lobby sure as hell doesn't want marijuana out there.
Yeah, how much is the liquor lobby doing to just make everybody miserable? Because the more you get numbed out with alcohol, the less performance and satisfaction you can get or give.
Exactly, and
recovering alcoholic with 6 years of sobriety.
Thank you. Yeah. Congratulations.
And it's a lot better now.
It's a depressant. It doesn't enhance sex or anything. It takes you down.
That's right.
Well, Natalie Angier, who is a science writer, wrote in her book, Woman, an Intimate Geography, that she and her two sisters and her mother all learned to climax by smoking marijuana, and she describes it scientifically as a sublime electrician for the brain.
Well,
that it just releases inhibitions.
Yeah, you get out of your head and you get into your body, and it slows everything down. Your brain waves go into alpha. Normally, it's beta. Bup, 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 and you take a toke, and it's like, and that way you can start to have feelings in your body.
And then without marijuana, we need to talk to our audience about how you can focus in to have more feelings in your body to stay present. Would you say something about that?
Well, for me, it would be either having a fantasy, focusing my mind on something sexual, definitely staying with my breath, the breathing. Don't hold my breath. That's a big habit. A lot of people, they start to get turned on, and the energy is rising, and then they hold their breath.
Right.
But you want to keep the breath going, keep breathing. And mm-hmm. and the other thing is that when I'm working with a client and she gets close to coming, and then it's like, oh, it's too intense, she has to stop. No, that's the point where you breathe into it. You don't pull away from the sensation. People are terrified of pleasure. It's very unfamiliar.
Yeah, I know. How to just let go, surrender,
actually, it's not,
breathe.
Diana, it's not surrender and letting go. It's more athletic. It's going into a breathing pattern, going, and you meet it with the same kind of energy that's coming on to you.
Wow, okay, I like the way you put that.
Because if I just let go and become
it's
totally
too
passive. No, that is Sleeping Beauty. Fuck Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
This is athleticism. You get there and you move and you breathe and you sound and you get what you need. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bill
Hello.
Has something to say about this, I bet.
Yes, dear friends. Remember, if a light sleeper sleeps with the light on, it does not necessarily mean that a hard sleeper sleeps with a window open.
Did you get that, Betty?
No. He does a funny voice, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We don't need to repeat it, but it was funny.
Thank you.
But I really like it's, you're saying you meet the energy.
Yes, it isn't passive. It's active.
Yes, it's active.
Have you ever seen a man right in front of an orgasm take a deep breath and let everything go and relax?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. He keeps going. He goes. He's going for it. It's a commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
And women, we're not trained for this. We don't think we're supposed to be beautiful and lovely and not break a sweat and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And sorry, that's why thousands of women aren't having orgasms.
Well, I've even encountered some women in my practice over the years where they're afraid how funny looking their faces will be if they have an orgasm.
Oh, my goodness, contorted. They won't be
contorted.
They won't be beautiful.
Mm.
I know, it's a shame.
Honey, does this orgasm make me look fat?
Yes, darling, right around the middle, and your balls are really sagging.
Oh, Betty, you are fabulous. I just, I'm so glad that I know you and that you've been on the radio program today, and I really encourage our listening audience to visit your website. They can also reach you by BettyDotson.com, but your show with
Carlin.
Yes, Carlin Ross is brand new and right up to the moment. So it's DODSON and ANDRoss.com. And they can get your book there. People can get your book, Sex for One, on Amazon.com, I guess.
Yeah, but we want you to buy it from us.
Oh, I see. So you can get the book from you, too,
yeah,
Sex
no.
for One, as well as your memoir.
Yeah. Well,
Sexual Revolution, yeah.
Yeah, yes, they can get everything from me, the DVDs, the books, sex toys. We have a sex shop. In other words, it's worse, one-stop shop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your sex toys are great, and you are so knowledgeable about sex toys.
Well, I've used them for many, many, many years.
Longer than most, right?
Longer than most.
Betty, you are a delight, and I thank you so much for being here with us today on Love, Lust, and Laughter, and I hope that I can convince you in maybe a couple of months to come back for part two. Do you think we can do that?
I think we could do that.
Okay, good, Betty. Thanks again. And Billy, I'll let you sign off.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Wiley and Sage with guest Dr. Betty Dodson right here, and we're here every single Friday at noon Eastern time, so do come back to us. And until next week, remember, since in Hawaii, ho nepa nepu, stay juicy. Till next week, Billy Sage, Diana Wiley, Betty Dodson saying aloha.